Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Hello and welcome to the Yes Alive show on UK Health Radio. I'm Robin Daly, founder and chair of the UK charity Yes Alive, that works to bring the benefits of integrative medicine to those with cancer, providing education, support, and signposting in a variety of forms. Well, one of those forms is this weekly show, in which I get to speak to a huge variety of the people at the forefront of developing integrative oncology, as it's called. My guest today is the hugely proactive Sylvie Beljanski, who has picked up the baton to further the work of her father in developing natural products for cancer. Hi, Sylvie, thanks so much for agreeing to be my guest on the Yes Alive show.
Well, thank you for having me.
So I reckon that just the backstory to why you're involved in your current initiatives is plenty enough to fill up the whole show. And I do want to hear some of that, but I also want to leave plenty of time to talk about your current work. So maybe you could start out by giving us a top level view of how you come to be in the United States working hard to promote a range of botanical medicines for people with cancer and running a not-for-profit to do research in that arena.
Well, I did not really anticipate that to happen, actually, pretty much the contrary. I am the product of several generations of scientists in France, and I thought I should end the curse with me. I mean, do something else.
Right.
I grew up seeing a lot of people coming to my parents' house. I've been diagnosed with cancer, and they were crying, and they were invading our living room and our living space. And then I thought I would get rid of it, but they were coming back so a few months later with flowers, chocolate. So growing up as a little brat, I said, I'll never get involved. I don't have that. I don't want to be surrounded with sick people, and I will do something else with my life. And I went to law school, which means that I have an important feeling. I mean, justice, fairness are things that are important to me. And I was working as a foreign legal associate in a New York law firm, because that's what you do when you are a young lawyer. You want to have, you know, a line on your resume saying you have been in New York, and
sure,
working in a New York law firm sounds prestigious. Actually, I hated it. And I was calling home. I was kind of homesick and calling home on a regular basis. And one day, I was calling my dad at the laboratory, and that was not answering. So I called my mom, and I heard a voice like that saying, "You cannot speak to your mother. She's under arrest." I was like,
blimey.
I'm a lawyer.
Yeah, right.
Can I speak to my client? And in a few minutes, I just learned that both of my parents had been arrested, and that I was going to have to take care of their legal defense. And that was the beginning for me of a shift of about reflection and what is important. And the more I was diving into the file, the more, excuse my French, but the more shitty it looked.
All right.
And, it was really not about bringing a man to justice. It was about destroying evidence. And then, you know, as a lawyer, I was like, evidence of what?
Right.
And then that's when I started to really get involved into my father's work and understand what he was doing and how he was helping so many people over the years. And I got fascinated, absolutely captured. And I said, over my dead body, I'm not going to let the barbarians, meaning the French government, destroy this knowledge. I'm going to make sure that it's going to continue. This is not going to disappear. And I really wanted to prove, I mean, to have get the evidence from third party that indeed those products were doing what my father was saying they were doing. And over the years, because that was now 30 years ago, what I am telling you, this story with my father, we have been able to go even way beyond what my father published, because there are new methods, new methodology, new possibilities now that were not even remotely available at the time of my father. And now people are speaking of cancer stem cells. Nobody was speaking of that.
No.
Back in the 90s when my father was arrested and his work was put to a halt.
Mm.
And this is very, very important because this is at the core of why cancer metastasis. And it looks like what my father discovered back in the 80s is now at the forefront of new research because of the activity of those little plant extracts on cancer stem cells. So it's the gift that keeps giving.
Okay. Well, look, we're going to come back and talk about cancer stem cells some more a bit later on. But so in the case of the story here, well, first of all, what was your father accused of?
Oh, a laundry list of many, many things. Of course, I mean, making fake products and making fake claims and things like that. Things which were absolutely dropped on day one of the trial my mother had to go through because my father died before that.
I see.
All that became to that really bad blood between my father and the French government because my father had the opportunity to help François Mitterrand with his prostate cancer. Mitterrand was diagnosed at the beginning of the 90s with advanced prostate cancer. It was the beginning of his second term. Terms were 7 years at the time. But it had been kept secret during the first term. There was no internet and no social media at the time.
Right.
And so they were able to keep that secret during the first term. But second term, the president was so sick, it was really obvious that something had to be done. So a surgeon came, said the cancer has spread everywhere, and the president is not going to finish his second term. We have to put him on the morphine and prepare the country for early elections. And but Mitterrand had a mistress who had knew about a good doctor who had very good results with my father's products. And Mitterrand started to take the products. And as we know, he was able to finish his second term and even to live a few months after the end of his second term. But finally, after Mitterrand passed away, they sent a French army, not the police, a French army.
Yeah.
With machine guns, dogs, and helicopters circling above the laboratory to raid the laboratory, destroy all the knowledge, all the evidence, all the products, all the research. And they told my father also to stay overnight in the laboratory, which is absolutely the opposite of due process. Due process, you are supposed to bring somebody at the time of the arrest before judge, and instead they told him stay there, and then they sent some people covered with hazmat suits to spread some gas, and 2 months later my father was diagnosed with advanced myeloid leukemia.
Wow, what a story, eh? I mean, it's not the first time I've heard that kind of story. It tends to be more in America you hear these stories, but I have heard of them elsewhere as well. But yeah, amazing story. Getting up against governments is really not funny, is it? So your father was still, he's basically, he's in the middle of the war, so to speak, when he died. He hadn't really, he couldn't really see that how it would turn out.
They never gave him his day in court. My father was very, very awful, and he thought, if only I have my day in court, I will be able to prove my innocence. I will be able to bring thousands of witnesses saying that they have been cured with by cancer, but they never allowed that to happen. But you cannot, you know, allow, arrest somebody, put him under house arrest, and never give him his day in court. Mm. And my father was extremely resistant, and I managed to be able to send him products as soon as possible. So he lasted 2 full years after the raid at the lab, and the justice was delaying, and saying no to everything. And at some point, I took the case to the European Court of Human Rights, because you have to deliver due process in a timely manner. And we won an unanimous case at the European Court of Human Rights because the French government did not bother answering and explain what they did. They would rather lose than explaining themselves and what the real motivation and open their file.
Right.
So we won the case, unanimous case, but really clearly, I realized at that point the limit of the legal action, and that what was not going to save the knowledge, save the legacy, and be able to continue to make the products available to more people, which was the most important.
Right. And so this is associated with why you've ended up in another country, yeah?
As I told you, I was working as a foreign legal associate in New York when all that happened. And I realized that I was not going to go back to France, and I had to stay in New York and find my way here. And I received the support of so many people.
Really?
So
great.
People went really out of their way to help me start first the company and make the products available. They all have some kind of skin in the game, if I may.
Right.
Because they wanted the products for themselves and for their family. But
so what? Excellent. Yeah.
They helped me. And then 3 years later, as soon as I could, I started the foundation, the Belzhansky Foundation here in New York City.
Yeah. Okay. So there we are. We've got, you actually have two organizations now. You have a business, yeah, which is the Maison Belzhansky, which is making and selling the products.
Yeah.
And you have this not-for-profit Belzhansky Foundation. So maybe you could just explain a bit about each of those and how they're connected.
So you cannot make research out of thin air. You need to have products to study. And
especially
when you do a clinical trial, you need a decent quantity of product. And the first thing, was to make the products available and help people. Right. As soon as I could, I organized a symposium here in New York, and I invited a number of French doctors. Actually, I think 100 of them came.
Well,
I've been talking with my father, and I told them, well, you know, I don't know much. I'm a recovering lawyer. You know much more than I do about those products. You have to help me. You have to teach me. About what to do, how to use them, and do you prescribe them, and what we should do as a foundation. What are your expectations? What do you want me to confirm, to prove, to what should be the next step? And, And the response of those French doctors was absolutely amazing. I was able to, at the same time, to have a handful of American doctors, and one of them was Dr. Michael Schachter, who was a luminary, a very open-minded and a very good man in integrative medicine here in New York. And he was really blown away by what he heard by his French colleagues. And he said, I have never heard anything like that. I have a patient who is a poor fellow with advanced pancreatic cancer. He doesn't have much to lose. I'm going to try to give him some of the Pao Pereira and we'll see what happens. And a few weeks later, he calls me saying, the poor fellow is doing better. I'm going to need more product.
Right.
And then he calls me a few months later saying, well, he's doing so well. I am going to put other patients on this protocol. And then a year and a half later, he said, I have now enough good cases. I'm going to publish about that. I was so pleased, so happy, so proud. The first American paper. I gave a copy to everybody I knew.
I can imagine.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Including my banker. And it turned out that the banker was a patient of Dr. Aaron Katz.
How about that?
Time of head of holistic urology at Columbia University. And now Dr. Katz is calling me and saying, you have something interesting. I would love to learn more about this Mitterrand prostate thing. I mean, as a urologist, I'm quite intrigued. Would you come to Columbia? And I said, of course, I came. And then he made clear that even though we had treated the presidential prostate, we had to start all over again with in vitro, and if it was going to work in vivo to publish on the effectiveness of those products on prostate cancer. And then Dr. Katz was giving a lecture about the results, good results he had on prostate cancer. And I was sitting, I mean, the cheerleader in the room, and I was seated next to somebody who at some point turned to me and said, well, he's speaking about your products, yes? I am at the holistic department at Kansas University Medical Center. Would you have something that would work on women? And I said, yes, the same thing. Because those products are not gender or organ specific. They recognize cancer cells wherever they are located. They induce apoptosis, which is the death of cancer cells, wherever they are located, without touching healthy cells. So if you want to work on ovarian cancer, great. We are going to use the same products and the same protocol. And that's how we started to work with Kansas University Medical Center on ovarian cancer and then on pancreatic cancer and great results and great publications. And by the way, all the publications I'm mentioning are available on the website of the foundation, belzhansky.org.
Right.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Right, so let's talk a little bit about these natural products, these botanicals that your father was working with. You mentioned one of them already, Pao Pereira, which I had heard of before. There's also another one, Rauer Wolfia vomitoria, never heard of it in my life. And green tea, of course, everybody's heard of. So so tell me why he chose to work with those three particular botanicals. I mean, there's the sky's the limit with the ones you can choose.
Yes. So my father was at the forefront of what is now known as environmental medicine.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the 80s, everybody was making fun of him and said it was a totally ridiculous idea. The official thinking was that cancer was only resulting from a mutation, a genetic mutation. the Watson and Crick double helix had been discovered in the 60s. Back in the 70s, 80s, it was still a new thing. It felt like the future of medicine, and everything would be explained by modifying, touching our genes. And also, I mean, the opportunity for my pharmaceutical companies to do a lot of new drugs, patent a lot of new drugs, and make a lot of money that way. So when my father said, the increasing number of cancer shows that it's not just genetic, that something else is triggering the genes and inducing more and more cancer, that was not welcomed. I mean, this was the 30 years of great pollution.
The wrong story.
So
he was saying that the genetic defects are there, but they're a symptom. They're caused by the...
There are things in the environment that are triggering a modification
right.
at the level of the DNA. He made the observation that whether you look at plant kingdom, animal kingdoms, humans, there is a difference between healthy DNA and cancer DNA. Healthy DNA, you have the nice double, famous double helix, and the two strands of the DNA are well kept together by hydrogen bonds. When you look at cancerous cells, always, you have a deformation, what my father called big loops of the helix of the DNA. The hydrogen bonds have broken. They are not keeping the two strands of the DNA together, and you have those big openings. And my father, by measuring the amount of light going through the two strands of the DNA, was able to make the correlation between increased destabilization, those big openings, and increased rate of synthesis of the DNA. So the DNA replicates faster and faster, and that's the hallmark of cancer.
It is.
So he came up with a test at the time where he screened a number of molecules to see how they were affecting cancer DNA, which is, once it's open, it is even more prone to further destabilization than when it is closed. When it is closed, it has some stability.
Yes.
Not of amount or a cumulative effect over the years, and that's what is happening to us, a cumulative effect of being submitted to carcinogens to get this to the modification of the beginning of the opening of the loops of the DNA. So he tested a number of molecules to see what was carcinogenic. And then he used the same test to see if he could find a number of molecules that would selectively recognize those big loops and prevent the duplication of those big loops. And when you look under the microscope, you can follow those plant extracts that he selected, Paupera and Revolfia vomitoria, because they happen to be naturally fluorescent. And you can see that they really are able to penetrate cancer cells. And because those cancer cells become bright, especially under UV light.
Okay.
And you can see that the fluorescence stay outside of the healthy cells.
Yep.
And so that means you start thinking in terms of cancer, no longer in prostate, breast, ovarian cancer. It doesn't matter anymore.
Right.
You are speaking of cancerous cells and healthy cells. And then there is no toxicity, no side effects to healthy cells because they are not going to be penetrated by the plant extract,
right.
Only cancerous cells. So that's why you have this kind of universal results that propelled my father's success and eventually benefited Mitterrand and then created so much anger from the pharmaceutical companies.
Right. How interesting. Okay, so you mentioned earlier on, though, that these products have an effect on cancer stem cells. So first of all, for anybody who doesn't know, can you explain what a cancer stem cell is, why it's important, and then talk about them in relation to these natural products?
Yes. So cancer stem cells are those cells which are thought to be responsible for cancer metastasis. About one of five or six cancer will eventually come back in the form of metastasis. And the big drama is that conventional therapies, especially chemotherapy, does not destroy cancer stem cells. So the doctor is saying, oh, you are doing well, the tumor is shrinking. And in fact, those cancer stem cells, which are embryonic, non-differentiated, they're able to stay in the body for a long time. And eventually, one day, they will wake up and create a metastasis. And they can travel in the blood and go somewhere else. And that's why you have a start with a lung cancer and then you end up with something in your stomach or somewhere else in your body because those cells have traveled and have created a new tumor somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. So this is a relatively recent understanding, isn't it? I mean, everybody bought the story that, yes, the chemotherapy is working brilliantly, and oh dear, it seems to have come back again. But there was no recognition then that there were such things as cancer stem cells. And now that we know they're there and how key they are to actually forming new cancers, and the way they can stay dormant, they can just sit there waiting for their moment. This has really changed the story, isn't it? And we now realize that you ignore them at your peril, basically. We have to find a way of dealing with cancer stem cells if we want to ensure a good result. So, so how do they relate to these natural products then?
So the work we have done at the Beljanski Foundation over the past almost 25 years, is to confirm the activity of those plant extracts on different kinds of cancer, different stages of cancer in a very organized systemic way, and also the synergy with chemotherapies. And then we were like, those little plant extracts are doing so much, let's try on cancer stem cells. And we were also seeing that the mice that had been treated, for example, pancreatic cancer or ovarian cancer, were not developing any metastasis. So that was really, really intriguing. And we decided to do some research on ovarian and pancreatic cancer stem cells at first, because we had just finished studies on pancreatic and cancer cells with great success in vitro and in vivo. And we were saying, like, it's intriguing to see that there is no metastasis, but what is really happening? And we saw first in vitro that all the stem cells were disappearing between 50 micrograms per milliliter and 100 micrograms by milliliters, which is, since we have no toxicity, which is something totally doable in vivo. So we translated that in vivo in mice, and it worked. So we decided lately to do a big research with in vitro and in vivo with breast cancer. Breast cancer is, cancer killing the most for women, the most common, and about 30% of those cancer will eventually come back within 5 years. So, I mean, you see all those women walking to get, you know, a cure for cancer. As long as you do not destroy all cancer cells, including cancer stem cells, you will never get a cure for cancer.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Thank you.
we had a study in vitro and which worked well, and in vivo on cancer stem cells for mice. So we had two groups of mice that were injected with very nasty breast cancer stem cells, human breast cancer stem cells. And one group for 2 weeks was fed with Pau Pereira, Revolfia vomitoria, and that was diluted in green teas, a special mix of green teas. And what we saw is that the survival of those mice who were fed that way was really significantly increased compared to the other mice. And the size of the tumor developed was also much smaller. And then maybe most importantly, the control group developed metastasis like crazy, but in the treated group, there was zero metastasis. So that's about to be published, and we are already trying to find a new research cycle on prostate cancer stem cells,
right?
Because we do expect to see similar results, but of course you need to do the research. You just cannot.
You can't.
Speculate.
Yeah, very interesting. So in terms of treating people's cancer, very often, particularly with an early stage cancer, you can treat the tumor itself, the local tumor. You might have surgery or whatever, but there's not a guarantee about a cure using conventional treatment. But you're saying that you could be using your botanicals alongside that to deal with cancer stem cells that exist in the body elsewhere already.
Absolutely. And also, I would like to stress out that the synergy of action of those plant extracts with chemotherapy has also been documented. And my father did that at the time with cyclophosphamide, 5-FU, and we have done that a few years ago at Kansas University with gemcitabine and carboplatin. So very different kind of chemotherapies, but every time a nice synergy of action with those little plant extracts. It looks like the toxicity associated with chemotherapy kind of makes those DNA, open DNA, even more visible to those little plant extracts.
Right.
Rush even more faster,
yeah,
to those stabilized cells.
Another one of those stories of integrative medicine, how the synergies can often add up to more than the two separate,
yes,
things that are being used. Yeah.
Hello.
Very interesting. Right. Not much time left. I want to ask you about RNA fragments now. These are something you've been working with. You have a supplement that has RNA fragments in it. What are they? What do they do when you take them?
Okay. So first, what they are not. They have nothing to do with messenger RNA, the vaccine, and all those things.
Okay, yeah.
This is totally different. We are here speaking of bacteria, which is naturally present in your intestine. It's called E. coli K12. Don't fret out about E. coli. K12 is very well known, very well documented. It's not pathogenic. It's not mutagenic. And we purify completely this bacteria to keep only the RNA of the bacteria, which is totally natural, and we chop it in little pieces. My father made the observation that the core of our immune system, which is made of white blood cells and platelets, are manufactured naturally by the body at the level of the bone marrow.
Uh-huh.
And the bone marrow is fed by the nutrients, which are absorbed by the gut, transported by the blood, and brought to the bone marrow. But when people are undergoing chemotherapy, their gut is damaged. They have nausea. They do not eat properly. And therefore, all this process of going nutrients absorbed by the gut and brought to the bone marrow is not happening properly. And the chemotherapy is destroying a lot of blood cells as collateral damage, because the chemotherapy is destroying fast dividing cells. That's cancer cells, but that's also a lot of those blood cells, which are our immune system. So what happens is traditionally with chemotherapy is that at the first round of chemos, your bone marrow is making enough white blood cells and platelets, but then the bone marrow gets damaged and you are producing less and less of those white blood cells and platelets that are necessary to survive and to go through chemotherapy. And your immune system is down, you are depressed because the immune system is down. And then if you do not have enough platelets, you start bleeding, and then that can be a very, very bad, very bad prognosis. So my father came with the idea of a shortcut with those RNA fragments which are able to prime the DNA of the bone marrow. That's all they do. They are kind of food for the bone marrow. Mm. And the bone marrow will be in 24 hours able to do its job because it's fueled, as it's properly fueled with the proper nutrients, and will create the white blood cells and platelets that your body needs to produce. And because it is a body doing its job, it's going to produce a normal physiological number and never too much and never in balance.
Very good. So this is something you might take it as a supplement then, just if you've been ill or a bit low. But it has this particular synergy, as you say, with traditional, conventional cancer treatments, because
everybody on the chemotherapy should know about this product. It's really food for the bone marrow to create white blood cells and platelets. And you get the results in 24 hours.
That's very rapid. Very much needed. I mean, the conventional cycle, if you don't do something like this, is that you go in there, you have your round of chemotherapy. A week later, because you've got no immunity whatsoever, you pick up a horrible infection. You go back into hospital, you have intravenous antibiotics. Those ones didn't work. You get some more intravenous antibiotics and some more. And eventually, you're just about ready to go back in again for the next round of chemo, and you've been sick all the time in between with an infection, which they probably never found out what it was, but it just gave you so many antibiotics they killed it, which is a horrible thing to go through and terrible for your health, obviously.
Absolutely. And those little RNA fragments, they are just taken, it's a little white powder you take under the tongue. So it's not degraded by the enzymes. So it's really, really easy to take, easy compliance. I mean, it's not like having to go to the hospital to have an injection or something.
No.
No, it's easy, and everybody can do it.
Mm. Well, brilliant. I mean, that sounds like a fantastic thing for people who are going through chemotherapy or radiotherapy to know about. Because you already sort of gave us the picture of how damaging the chemotherapy can be to our health generally.
Yeah, but of course, I would like to add with regard to this product that we were able to have a clinical trial at Cancer Treatment Centers of America. And we were looking at a population who was at the verge of thrombocytopenia. Thrombocytopenia is a loss of platelets. And again, not enough platelets means bleeding. And so the oncologist was really interested in seeing if some nutritional approach could help support his patients. And none of the patients enrolled, and they were all had different kind of cancers. They were all already battered by several rounds of chemotherapies because they were at the verge of thrombocytopenia. None of them had to interrupt their treatment of chemotherapy. None of them had to have a blood transfusion. So that's what
amazing, really, amazing, so great.
And again, there's a gift also that keeps giving with this little product. There are new studies, not done by the Beljanski Foundation, but showing that 97% of serotonin is stored into platelets.
Okay.
So if you do not have enough platelets, you do not have storage for serotonin, and then you have a patient who is depressed. And we know that a lot of patients suffering from cancer as or are also depressed, and then they are given other drugs which have also toxicity, added toxicity and added side effects. And when you can naturally help with the depression by providing the body with a proper storage that it was meant to be, to have at the beginning.
Fantastic. Yeah, and the other thing that I just wanted to mention is that, of course, I gave that picture of how many antibiotics are fed to people in between rounds of chemotherapy to get them back in a condition to do the treatment. All those antibiotics, of course, are further destroying the patient's immune system in a very, very radical way. So if you can avoid that kind of thing, that's massively important to the health and well-being. So, look, 3 minutes left. Can you just tell us about what the foundation has on offer for people, because I know you do quite a bit of events and things, and also where people find out about all your work.
So the Beljanski Foundation is funding research with academic institutions and makes this research available to all through the website and also to events, as many events as possible, to share the results of the research and also to get some funding for the next round of research. So I'm hosting a conference on a regular basis, a big conference.
Yes.
We had in Florida, in Texas. The next one is going to be in California. Stay tuned for the save the date. It's going to
be okay.
Soon. But it is the opportunity for 2-3 days to get really a lot of experts in the realm of integrative medicine and who come from different perspectives, and but with all the idea to bring support to cancer patients in an integrative approach. So I have also a podcast. It's the Beljanski Cancer Talk Show .com, and I have guests on it every 2 weeks. It's being published, and I try to also to speak as many podcasts as possible. I'm very grateful for this opportunity today, and we make everything available again, beljanski.org for the foundation, Maison Beljanski, Maison, M-A-I-S-O-N, and then Beljanski, just all in one word. Maison means home in French. That's where people can get the products and also some health coaching if needed. If we try to put people in contact, in touch with integrative doctors, but we also have health coaching if there is no doctor around you. If people want to know more about the story, what happened to my father, how I started all over again in the States, well, I wrote it like a novel, really. It's an easy read for everybody, but you will learn also a lot about cancer at the same time. Winning the War on Cancer, The Epic Journey Towards a Natural Cure. It is available at Morgan James and on Amazon and everywhere books are sold, as it's meant to say.
Marvelous. All right. Thanks so much, Sylvie. It's been really interesting, a fascinating story, and very excited about, you know, your father's works. Obviously, got a lot of value in there for patients. And of course, it didn't go down the pan like the French government hoped. There you are, keeping it going. And very exciting, all the research work you're doing into it, which, of course, is what we need to actually show that the effects it has. So really interesting. Thank you very much indeed for coming on the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Bye, Mike. Keep in touch.
Okay. Take care.
Bye. A fascinating chat, and kudos to Sylvie for her determination to preserve and develop her father's legacy. Thanks for listening today. I'll be delighted if you can join me again next week for the next episode of the Yes to Life show here on UK Health Radio. Goodbye.